Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
So there's at least one group of New Yorkers that Governor Spitzer is reportedly not trying to steamroll over: the Transport Workers Union. Daily News political columnist Liz Benjamin reports that the governor will grease the transit workers' wheels by giving them back their dues checkoff privileges despite their illegal strike of 2005. Liz Benjamin joins us now from Albany. She writes the Daily Politics column. Hi, Liz.
Hey, how are you?
I'm okay, thank you. Who's telling you what?
Well, I mean, just one small item is that the governor doesn't have the power to restore this dues checkoff right.
Uh-huh. Okay.
He's a judge.
Right.
The governor would support it, is what I'm being told by labor leaders, and that is significant. The problem is the judge...
When you say support it, the labor leaders are going before a court to have these dues checkoff
Correct.
Privileges restored. So if the governor decides not to oppose them, then, in effect, he's got the power.
Well, he's a pretty powerful guy, I mean, contrary to some people's belief. But he remains the governor of New York, and that his word is pretty significant.
Okay, and so the judge, the court will have to decide what? What's their claim?
Well, the issue is that this strike, of course, was illegal in 2005, and there was a pretty hefty penalty package. It was a $2.5 million fine, and dues checkoff loss, you know, that's what feeds unions, their financial wherewithal comes from their members, and members, of course, are potentially loath or maybe just not up on sending a check in every week. So you have the automatic right to take that money out of their paychecks, and that provides unions with a constant stream.
Isn't that pathetic, Liz, when you think about it, that if you're not getting the dues deducted automatically in your, you know, from your paycheck as a form of withholding, which is what dues checkoff is, that members of a union, especially a union that's, you know, got as much invested in their being in a union as the members of the TWU, that they don't send it involuntarily?
Well, yes and no. I mean, to be fair, sometimes you might forget to pay a bill if it's not automatically deducted out of your paycheck. So the idea is that you actually have to put it in the mail and put a stamp on it, and people are busy, et cetera. But it's true that if they felt very passionately about their union, you would think that they would do it on their own.
Of course, there is a lot of contentiousness within that union and a lot of people who think they're not well represented and
Correct.
There are factions, and maybe that plays into it too. But do you have the numbers on this, on just how much they're suffering financially as a result of losing checkoff?
Well, they haven't actually released that information. Everything I've seen indicates that at least by late May, only just over half of the membership was signing up to send in things voluntarily. But if they get this back, of course, they'll have their money stream restored. And what I'm told is underlying here is that their relationship with the MTA has been historically contentious, and they're going to come up for another round of contract negotiations. And in the governor's mind, and I think labor leaders who are prompting him on this one, what caused the strike the last time around in part was the negative relationship between the MTA and the TWU. So if you improve that, the thinking goes that perhaps you will avoid another strike. Now, the problem is the union has to say that it won't strike again, and I don't think they want to do that.
So you quote somebody saying the governor would rather take a public relations hit now as compared to at the time of a potential strike.
Right. I mean, one could argue that it would be pretty negative if the strike comes around again. I mean, certainly a lot of people remember very clearly how difficult it was. It was right around the Christmas season, and the city took a very large hit. People were enormously inconvenienced, and I think that the governor and the people who are advising him look towards avoiding that from happening again, and clearly he's going to get hit for pandering to unions and to a union in particular that I think most New Yorkers were pretty unhappy with in 2005.
Is anybody criticizing the governor? I should say, I noticed that after you broke the story yesterday, the Daily News editorial page today is criticizing the governor and saying he's got to hold the line on dues checkoff, or the court has to hold the line on, you know, denying them the dues checkoff because there have to be consequences after an illegal strike. Are other people in the political sector also criticizing him?
Well, I think not for this specifically that I've heard, but there has been, you know, this dovetails into the whole driver's license argument in the governor. governor wants to change the rules to allow illegal immigrants to get driver's licenses, and he argues that that, in fact, will make the state more safe, while others argue that, in fact, it could enable people who are terrorists or want to do other bad things from getting driver's licenses and potentially making the safe less state, the state less safe. This is being seen in some sectors as his play towards the unions, and perhaps he's trying to curry favor with them, and he, of course, needs all the friends he can get in the wake of the Troopergate scandal. So he's being criticized on a number of fronts, I think.
So the Daily News editorial says where Spitzer stands right now is murky. He says he will take a position after Toussaint, the union leader, files legal papers seeking the right to have the MTA again deduct union dues from his members' checks.
Their deadline, I mean, they actually lost checkoff as part of the penalty for 90 days. And after 90 days, they had the ability to petition to get it back.
Huh.
And they have so far not done so for whatever reason. And if in fact they go before the judge, I think a large part of this problem is, of course, the Taylor Law prevents the unions from doing this and enables these very lengthy penalties to be imposed upon them when they strike. So the question is whether the union will acknowledge that the strike was in fact illegal and promise in some way, which is what the editorial gets to, that they won't do it again.
Right. And so this would be kind of pre-bargaining, right? Because they're not sitting down in contract negotiations at this moment. But if he does what the editorial says and demands an unequivocal no strike statement from the TWU, that's a pretty heavy lift for that union leadership.
It is. And as you noted before, there are members of that union who are enormously unhappy with the leadership. This also speaks to a larger issue, which is that the state's financial picture is not as bright as it has been in recent years, and we're going into a potentially difficult budget negotiation season at a time when the state is going to probably need concessions from some of its unions.
In your column yesterday, you noted that Elliot Sander, the new chief of the MTA appointed by Spitzer, is trying to establish better relations in the union with the union than his predecessors had.
Yeah.
How else do you see that?
He's had a sit-down, actually, with Roger Toussaint right after he took office or was appointed, and that was sort of raised eyebrows in some sectors, but was seen as a little bit of an olive branch and an effort to get discussions going again between the union and the MTA.
And do you have any idea yet whether the union feels any different? I mean, I know from the calls we took during the strike from striking union members, they hate the MTA brass.
Yeah, interestingly, the contacts that I've gotten have been from disgruntled union members who are angry at the leadership. I haven't been able to get the leadership to get back to me on this one, but I have gotten contacted by union members who are upset regarding Toussaint and his folks.
So is this part of the governor turning over a new leaf after his steamroller attitude got him into so much trouble in his first 6 months?
I think that in some ways you could say that. I mean, certainly he hasn't backed down. I mean, we saw on the driver's license issue, he came out very angrily against Mayor Bloomberg, who just weeks before had been one of the few people willing to stand with the governor. I don't think that the governor has softened his personality. It would require a heavy lift from him to completely change. But there are people that he is, you know, trying to shore up his relationship with. He has been meeting with members of the legislature that at one point he was saying were sort of poster children for dysfunction and if not, you know, all-out corruption. So he's trying to temper and his situation, I think, and also trying to settle in. It's very different being governor than being attorney general, and that was potentially something that, you know, he wasn't completely aware of when he took the job.
So we're already talking about the possibility of a potential theoretical, hypothetical transit strike if things go badly by the end of next year, I guess. And yet here we are looking down the face of a possible second taxi strike in a month.
Right, and that's what we've heard. I mean, it's the last one didn't really have the effect, I don't think, at least on leadership. For example, the mayor downplayed the strike, and there was some fight over how many people were actually out on strike in terms of drivers and how many people were inconvenienced. And you know, it's difficult to say whether that particular strike had the same effect that 2005, when the subways were offline. You know, a lot of people felt that.
Right. Anything new on Choppergate before you go? The last we heard, we carried the news conference by the Albany DA, David Soares, about 10 days ago. Where's that headed?
Right. Well, that report has been criticized by, you know, some people that you would expect to be critical of it, of course. And they were pre-critical of it before it was even released, the Republicans. So that was one issue. And in addition, the Senate Republicans have quote-unquote, demanded information from the executive branch and are reportedly already preparing their subpoenas in expectation that the executive branch is going to tell them no way. So that's where we're at now. There is a poll out today, a Quinnipiac poll, that finds that two-thirds of people polled say they really want the governor to testify under oath, but an increasing number, small increase, in the number of people who say, all right, enough already, let's not investigate this any further. So oddly also, they think that the governor should testify under oath, but 56% say he's an honest and truthful guy. So I don't know exactly where that all comes down from a logic standpoint.
I love the idea of the pre-action that you refer to, the pre-criticism before the report from the Attorney General even came up. We used to have to wait for reactions, and now we can get pre-actions. And we used to have used cars, and now we have pre-owned cars. So we're in a new age. Liz Benjamin, Daily News political columnist, thanks a lot for coming on.
Thank you, Brian.
Brian Lehrer on WNYC. Coming up in a minute, Harvard Yiddish professor Ruth Weiss argues that Jews have historically been too reluctant to exert their self-interest and are still that way, despite all the criticism of Jewish power by others. Stay with us.